Today's gospel comes to us from Matthew, the fourth chapter, and can be found on page 785 in your pew Bible. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and Jesus called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. This worked a little bit better early service when it was really foggy outside and kind of dark. So just kind of pretend it's like 2 hours ago when it was foggy and dark a little bit. But as I was thinking about today's gospel, I was thinking about that interaction between light and dark. And I was thinking about times in my life when I've been in a dark place, when it's been physically dark and I haven't been able to see or haven't been able to feel my way around very much, and I didn't have a handy flashlight to help with that. As a kid, I remember I really scared my grandma and grandpa one time when we stayed at their house, my sister and I, and we slept in their basement in a room that didn't have any windows. And it was so nice and cozy down there, and we were like high school students. We slept for 16 hours and scared my grandparents that something bad, like we were dead or something, because they told us that they kept going downstairs and, like, you know, opening the door and making sure we were still breathing, and then they'd go back upstairs. They weren't used to, you know, kids sleeping quite that long at those in those high school days. And then I also thought of when Rob and I were on, we've only been on two cruises now, some of you have got us way beat, but when Rob and I were on a cruise, we had an inside cabin one time, and once the door was shut and the lights were off, it was so cozy and warm. We were down by the engine, so there's lots of, you know, little rattling noises, and it was just nice and cozy in that room. And so sometimes the dark can be a nice, cozy place to be. But we know that darkness is not always so nice and cozy to be. The darkness can be uncertain and scary and worrisome and downright terrifying sometimes when we're having those dark nights of the soul and wondering what's going to happen next or how we're going to get through the situation. And so today, this kind of came out of some of the comments about the sermons in the focus group. I guess I would like you to be brave enough to share with me a little bit of those dark nights that you have had. Hopefully, haddocks, hopefully everyone has a little tiny, well, quarter size piece of paper that they got in their bulletin today, and hopefully everyone has a writing utensil as well. So if you're lacking either of those things, please raise your hand. And Carol and Dave will get you something, one of those that you're lacking. Feel free to use the Bibles to write on. That's fine, too. I mean, don't write on the Bible, but use them as a clipboard kind of thing to write on. So this first question, I'd ask you to share with me an issue either current or in the past, an issue that you've been struggling with. Could be, you know, marital relationship kind of things, ethical things with workplaces and people at work, coworkers, sickness of yourself or the health of loved ones. But answer that question, if you would. How have you walked in darkness, either in the past, or where do you find yourself doing that now, perhaps? It looks like some people may be finished, so I'll go on, but feel free to keep writing if you need to. That darkness is a theme of Isaiah, the text that God read for us, and also the text from Matthew. Just to refresh our memory together, in Isaiah it says, the people who walked in darkness, the people who lived in the land of deep darkness. And Matthew says, the people who sat in darkness, those who sat in the region and shadow of death. And in both situations there's some similarities, even though these two instances happen a couple thousand years apart from each other. But both groups of these people are under foreign control and foreign domination. So even though the rest of the life is the same as ours, you know, family issues, troubles with health, all that kind of thing, they had a little bit of a different burden than we do today. Zebulun and Naphtali, those northern kingdoms, had been conquered by the Assyrians, and it was a campaign to obliterate them forever from the face of the earth. The Assyrian army, as it came in, took everybody away and scattered them to the far winds, and even took salt and dumped salt on all the farm fields so that they would be unusable for generations because it was the soil was just ruined. So talk about being in deep darkness for the people that might have escaped being drug away as captives. And then in Matthew, things are better, but not totally better, because the rest of the Jewish people, those who survived, are under the Roman domination, and Rome can and does come and do whatever it wants there. People are paying taxes that don't leave much money left to buy food or to buy materials for your business or to buy seed crops for your farm. It is not an easy way to live. And the Roman soldiers have this threat of violence that comes with them. Whenever they walk into town, you're skittish because they can and do anything that they want to do, and the law is on their side. And then, like I said, there's the threat of just the regular stuff of life that brings us into darkness. And so it's intriguing that in those places of darkness, those places of trouble, those places of pain, that both Isaiah and Matthew say they've seen a great light. On them the light has shined. And so I invite you to close your eyes for a second and to remember the sun. In Northwest Ohio, it's been a while since we've experienced the sun, hasn't it? But remember what it's like to stand, to sit outside, and have the sun just beat down on you on those nice, crisp, cool fall or spring days when the sun is just so warm and you feel it on your skin, and the heat of the sun just bakes into your bones, and you feel the sun on your hair gets warm with the sunshine on your hair. And how glorious and how lovely that is, just to be warmed by the gift of the sun. And then I invite you to open your eyes, having thought about that light of the sun, and to think about the second question that I ask on the paper there. If that dark place was a while ago, or, you know, what helped you get through that dark place? What was light for you in that darkness? And if you're currently in a dark place, what do you pray, what do you hope will be that which warms you, that which brings light to you in the situation you find yourself in now? And I invite you to answer that question as well. Maybe some of you answered both at the same time. Was that true?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So we won't sit in silence then, waiting for you to... So, okay. And then at the bottom of the page, you see that if you'd like to have further conversation about this, I invite you to fill out, to put your name down in the next couple days to a week. I'll try to get in touch with you and we can have personal conversation about this, if you'd like. If not, just keep it anonymous, and that will be fine too. So I invite you during the peace, as we share the peace, or as you come up for communion, to place your, we'll scoot the basket over a little bit, Jacob, and we'll put the basket, put your piece of paper in the basket there that's on the step. Thank you, Jacob. So back to Matthew here, because here Matthew talks about this light that comes into the world. And here's where Matthew does something kind of interesting, I think, because Matthew has this beautiful light-dark kind of connection. Matthew says, "For those who sat in the region of shadow and death, on them light has shined." And isn't that just kind of lovely and poetic? Those who sit in darkness, on them light has shined. And you expect Matthew to kind of continue on in that vein and talk more about light and glory and goodness and warmth and all those kind of things. But the next verse is really kind of odd, because Matthew goes from, you know, from those who sit in the region and shadow of death, on them light has dawned, to, from that time on, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And it seems like kind of an abrupt shift in tone at first. Repent? You know, really? You've got all these beautiful words about light and you know, and repent doesn't seem to fit there. It doesn't seem like good news. It doesn't seem like comforting news for those who are in darkness. But let's look more closely at that, at those words of Jesus that say repent. Because repent is sometimes, oftentimes, it can be good news in dark times and in dark situations. Because repent means to admit that things are beyond your control. To admit that you are in over your head. To admit that by yourself there is no way you're going to get yourself out of the mess that you're currently in. To repent is to admit that you can't do this. To repent is to admit that you need help. To repent is to admit that you are not as in charge of your life as we often try to think that we are. And repenting means that then we turn for help. And we turn for help to the only one who really can help us. And that is God. Because only God can make a way where it seems like there is just a black wall. Only God can work in people and in us to soften and to melt our hearts and to help us be open to receiving forgiveness or asking for forgiveness or to seeing things from a different perspective. Only God can bring healing. Only God can bring reconciliation. Only God is the one who can bring life out of death, bring hope out of a place where there is no hope. And we know this, because of what Jesus does for us. That Jesus goes into the darkest place of all. That on that Good Friday, when Jesus breathes his last, the disciples take his body off the cross. And in an intriguing echo of his birth, Jesus is wrapped in these swaddling grave clothes that remind us of how Jesus was born as a little baby. He is wrapped in these grave clothes and he is put into a tomb, a cave, on a shelf. And this big, huge stone is rolled in front of the entrance to the cave. And Jesus is there, his body is there in the dark, in the darkest of all places. And then Jesus goes someplace even darker. Jesus goes into hell itself. And there Jesus, on Friday afternoon, Friday evening, all day Saturday, Jesus puts up a fight. And Jesus fights the battle of his life against evil, against the devil, against the forces of evil itself. And thankfully, Jesus wins that battle for him and for us as well. And on that Easter Sunday, it is the brightest light of all, the brightest light the world has ever seen, as Jesus comes back to life and brings to us that promise of life everlasting. And all this Jesus does to remind us that God is truly with us. There is no place in this world we can go that God has not already been or God will not be. Even the darkest places that we find ourselves, God is especially there with us then, supporting, encouraging us, reminding us that even in the darkest places, the light shines. And that is the light of God's love for us. And today we rejoice and give thanks for that. Amen.